Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Scream ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Late nights at work taking a toll on your skin? Do you find yourself staring at those dark circles in the mirror? Well, it's time to meet your new best friend, Dark Circle Defense Balm from Lumen. Lumen is a line of brilliant men's skincare solutions crafted especially for men who want to look and feel their brightest. Whether you're a seasoned skincare pro or a total newbie, Lumen Skin has got you covered. Lumen's Dark Circle Defense Balm is a lightweight gel that absorbs seamlessly into your skin to brighten your under eyes and instantly plump dehydration lines. It's basically an espresso shot for your eyes. The best part? Lumen will let listeners of this podcast try the product out for free. Yes, you heard that right. Free. Head to lumenskin.com/wondery and get your free trial of Dark Circle Defense and their other amazing products now. Say goodbye to tired-looking eyes and say hello to a new and refreshed you. Don't wait any longer. Your skin will thank you. That's lumenskin.com/wondery for your free trial.
And Ash. Charlize Theron, she deeps beneath the monster. Oh.
Oh. Shooby dooby. Poppy.
Pop pop.
Galala. Pop.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Welcome to another episode of Scream. I'm Caleb.
I'm Elena.
I'm Joe Biden.
Nice to have you, bud. It's nice to have, I don't know which president he is, the 40-something president.
I have no idea.
46, show. I think
you're right.
It's like 46, 47, something like that. Yeah, somewhere around there.
I'm not. Welcome. I'm not that. I'm Ash.
Oh, okay. Hey, Ash.
Hey. Oh, how do you see these dogs?
I know. I was pretty confused. I was looking right at you, and I was like, Joe Biden?
You're like,
Joe?
Wow, you look like Ash.
I'm a shapeshifter.
And Ash, as my kids will tell you, looks like JoJo Siwa.
Yeah, they did. Only one of them said that.
I don't know anything about that person, but Nia was telling me a story very recently, and her daughter is very obsessed with that person.
All kids are.
And they were like, oh, this, that, blah, blah, blah. I think she asked if JoJo had a boyfriend. They were like, no, she's gay. And she was like, what? Oh, okay. Well, if JoJo Siwa is gay, then I'm gay.
Oh my god, that's so
oh
cute.
My god. I love her. That's oh adorable. Goodness. JoJo Siwa is like amazing. Like the brand that she's built herself is like truly something.
Truly a girl boss.
But she was on Ellen the other day and she was like dancing with, is it Twitch?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, maybe. He's like a really good dancer. But the youngest was like, it's Titi.
She was like, that's Titi.
And I was like, that's not Titi. She goes, that's Titi.
Yeah, she looked at you like, no, that's you.
She was like, I know it's you.
Just accept it.
I was like, oh yeah, I just flew to the Ellen show for a dance off with Twitch. Forgot to tell you.
This is the JoJo Siwa podcast. Welcome.
I would actually say it's very different from it today, but, you know, we'll say it's the JoJo
as
Siwa.
As different as one can get.
I would call that night and I'd call that day.
So before we get into what is the actual episode, we have posted, or we are about to post, actually, another Patreon poll because we just conjured up some stuff. We had some ideas. We put them in the pot. We mixed them together. We pulled some little papers out of the hat.
It was beautiful.
And
it was
we
cute.
Came to some conclusions.
We did. And they're great.
They're good conclusions, and we made them together.
We're such a team, guys. It feels really good.
There's no I in team.
None.
Except for when you spell it wrong.
Tie him.
But We will be able to explain this a little bit better later, but basically, at the start of the new year, we're going to have a new style of episode for you. It's going to be based off of a genre. Our polls are going to be also based off of that genre, and it's going to include specific picks from each of us based off of said genre.
You're going to get a chance to hear about that genre and hear about those three picks in that genre. And then based off of that, you're going to be able to decide which one you want to hear a little more about.
Which one you want to deep dive.
Which one you want to deep dive in.
It's always going to be my pick, guys, right? Not you guys,
it's
the
be
listeners.
Mine, right? Guys,
no,
mine.
Guys, never him.
Elena, say something. Or do you want people to pick yours?
No, but people are going to pick mine. I know it.
She doesn't even need to ask.
I don't
she
even need
knows.
To say it. Secret window. That's all I have to say. All right.
Corn. What else?
The uninvited.
One
genre
will genre? Be corn.
Corn. Oh my god, that would actually be hilarious.
Movies with corn.
I think we could do that. We could do this stuff like that. We could go into those sides of horror. Maybe we'll do like water bottle horror or something. I want a water bottle month.
A water bottle month.
I want to see which movies are based around water bottles.
I'm sure you'd be able to find three.
Influenced by water bottles.
Well, the thing is, you guys are gonna have to find one each too. You're gonna have to tell
that's
me.
That's what's
what
gonna be fun.
Water bottle movie.
That's what's gonna make it fun. I'm excited.
This will be good.
It's going to be fun, guys.
So you guys are going to get more details about that later. Our first poll is a little different because our polls weren't going to be that original. It was going to be like a genre thing, but then we talked about it a little more. And we were like, we have some other cool ideas.
Yeah.
We're going to mix this up. But for now, we did a true crime movie, like a movie depiction of a true crime case type of poll. And we ended up on Monster, the 2003 movie based off of Eileen Wuornos and her story, directed by... Why did I just blank her
Patty
name?
Jenkins.
Pat, I was going to say Peter, and I know it's not Peter, so directed by Patty Jenkins. Also written by Patty Jenkins. And also, this was her feature film, which is kind of insane.
That's
wow, I didn't know that.
So well done. She got out of like a film institute and just made this movie.
That's saying something.
But yeah, that's how the poll went this month. We're on this movie now. If these polls sound like something that you guys are interested, patreon.com/screampodcast. That's where all of the choosing and the involvement is going down.
The involvement.
The uninvited. The invited. If you want to be invited.
Yeah.
You're invited.
You're invited.
If you want to be invited,
you're invited.
Right, always and forever.
Just go check it out.
Do it.
So Patty Jenkins, she also wrote and directed Wonder Woman from 2017, Wonder Woman 1984. Again, this was her debut film. She's currently working on Wonder Woman 3, and she's on her way to being the first woman to direct a Star Wars film with Rogue Squadron.
Wow.
Patty.
Look at Patty.
Yeah, Patty's
out here.
Doing the shit.
Yeah, she is.
Dang.
The production is currently under some issues for Star Wars, but that's kind of been an issue with a lot of the Star Wars films happening. There's a lot of creative differences with people getting pissed off at Disney for telling them to do things.
Squabbling about it.
Yeah, so it's kind of to be expected.
Yeah.
I think Patty's going to direct it. It seems good so far.
Let's hope. I'm pulling for you, Patty.
Patty!
The movie is starring... Charlize. It's Charlize, right?
Charlize
Theron.
Yeah, I always go back to... the Between Two Ferns episode with Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, it's so good.
To kind of like, she says it like 9 times and then I still kind of mess it up sometimes. Charlize Theron, starring Charlize Theron. She's also Rita in Arrested Development, which anyone that loves Arrested Development, that's something I want to throw out there.
I just want to give it to you.
I've been told a few
AD
times.
Fans.
I've been told a few times in the past couple of days to watch Arrested Development.
Yeah, I never watched it.
It is a great show. She dated Michael Bluth. She was British, very British, and she was adorable. I love her.
I mean, I believe it.
And she looks great.
Yeah, she's not...
I mean, she always looks great.
She's not real.
No.
Like she, and by that, I don't mean like, oh my God, she got plastic surgery or something like that. Because like, no. No, I mean like, she's literally not a real... Like, I can't imagine that she exists on the same plane that I do.
She does. Like,
she is an alien person.
What is she?
Beautiful.
Yeah. She's like aging
gorgeous.
Backwards.
Kind.
I don't know what's happening. She's Benjamin Buttoning in reverse.
Hilarious.
She's an enigma wrapped in a riddle and beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was watching her Hot Ones episode. Now I just have it paused on her looking
you
beautiful
do.
Just right next to my screen right now. It's still just
can
sitting
confirm.
There. And you know what? I think I'm just going to leave it there this whole time.
He
it's
showed
fine.
Us, so we can confirm that.
Yeah, he was like, hold up, FaceTime us. FaceTime
I
me
need
real
to show
quick.
You this.
She was also Marion Hancock and many other movies like The Devil's Advocate, oh, yeah. Prometheus, Mad Max Fury Road, and Fast and Furious.
I've never seen any of those.
Wow, she was in Fast and Furious?
Who isn't in a Fast and Furious?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been in one, but there's still time.
Oh, you're in the next one.
Yet.
We'll call some people. You're definitely in the next Fast and Furious.
Yes. Make an arrangement or two. Yes.
I want to be part of the family.
Family. F is for family, baby. You know what I mean?
I want to be a part of it.
She also gained 30 pounds for the role, and I respect the fuck out of her for it, especially because all the tabloids after were like, how could she do this to her perfect looks for a role? And I'm like, because she's a great fucking actress.
She's amazing. I know. And she still looks amazing with 30 pounds on her. You,
I was
going to
say,
assholes. Like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, she still looked good, and I mean, she transformed herself for this role for sure, but like,
oh yeah, with like, and there was prosthetics, there was all kinds of shenanigans going on.
Did
there.
She shave her eyebrows off, or was that makeup?
She did.
Wow,
she did.
I did
she
too.
She shaved
in high
her
school.
Eyebrows off. She, yeah, she looks exactly like Eileen Wuornos. Like, if you look
uncanny.
Up Eileen Wuornos, you look at her, it's crazy.
Exactly
uncanny.
To a T.
Yeah.
When I first watched this movie, I was I think 9 or something,
wow.
9 or 10, and I swore to God, this was Ash, me and you talked about Gacy a good while ago on Horse Soup, mm-hmm. and that was the first true crime movie I ever watched. This is the second.
Wow.
Wow. Look at that.
I kind of have like a lot of like good memories of this. I remember walking downstairs and it was on. I was like, hey, what is this? And my father was like, oh, it's like a Eileen Wuornos documentary about this chick, you know, murdered people, serial killer, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just kind of like standing there in the kitchen, like watching it for a little while, like for 10 minutes, just not moving. And then eventually I just sat down and watched the whole thing. And it like hooked me on true crime movies for the rest of my life. I was like, this is fucking crazy. This is the craziest movie I've ever seen. And I thought it was her.
It was an actual documentary.
You're like, what?
Yeah, because I saw it when I was like 9 and I thought it was her for so long because I saw pictures of her and I was like, oh no, that's her.
It's mm-hmm. literally her. I feel like that's the way that you always find the best movies. It's like you walk into a room and you're like, what the hell is this? And then you're like, I'm not watching mm-hmm. this. And then all of a sudden, like 10 minutes later, you're like, so what happened with this person? Like,
yeah.
you sit down,
yeah.
like totally really get sucked in. That's how I've found my like favorite movies.
This is the first time I ever watched this movie. I'd never seen it before.
I saw it
Are
when
you
it
serious?
Came out.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know.
I saw it when it came out with Linz.
Wow, what I would give to see this movie for the first
time. It was
time.
Really great.
It was an experience.
Charlize won an Oscar for this performance,
deserved.
As well as about 25 other awards for Best Actress, Best Female Lead of the Decade, so on.
All deserved.
Very deserved.
Because the emotions you feel during this movie, whew.
It's a fucking roller coaster, whew. Man.
It's
especially
a lot.
For like Christina Ricci, you're like, oh, Selby.
Yeah.
What'd you get yourself into?
She somehow got snubbed, did not win any awards for this. I think she should have won like a best supporting role or something because she fucking killed
she
it.
She was really good.
She got eclipsed though with the Charlize like powerhouse, I think. I think it was like she was amazing. Like Christina Ricci was amazing in this.
Oh, yeah.
But she happened to be next to like a performance that was just totally eclipsing anybody. It would have eclipsed anybody.
Oh yeah. And I think the fact that Charlize made such a crazy like visual transformation, it kind of like overstepped that.
Yeah,
because Christina looks like Christina.
It's really crazy though, because even like with that visual change just right there in front of you, her performance outshines any of
mm-hmm.
that. Like
mm-hmm.
whether she looked like that character or not, her performance in that role is crazy. Just
her
down
voice.
To the little, like, just her move. Yeah, her voice, her movements, just the way she kind of, like, twitches and, like, walks,
yes.
like, in, like, certain spots.
The hair
there's,
flips.
There's one point where, and I'm sure we'll get to it, but I think it's, like, right in the beginning when she's, like, she had just met Selby and she's leaving her. And she's standing outside next to a mailbox. And she's like so awkward and can't stop moving and like is like ooh, ooh, huh. And then just reaches over and like opens the mailbox and shuts it like for
yeah.
no reason, like doesn't look in it, just like opens it and shuts it.
Yep.
And I was like, that stuff is so like just like it was like a nervous twitch, like it's just like I'm just gonna open
something
this and
you
shut
would do.
It like I don't know what to do. And it's that kind of stuff. I was like, that is Eileen. When you watched her in like the court and mm-hmm. like the trial and all that, like she was always moving. She was very like just she seemed like she was going a million miles a minute in her own head.
Mm-hmm.
And she like pulled that off. That was 100%. And it made you uncomfortable. Like when you watch someone like that, you're like, I'm stressed out.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah.
It's really incredible, too, because I really think that this movie has stood the test of time in comparison to so many other true crime movies that were made,
yeah.
Especially like around the early 2000s. There were terrible true crime movies come out. MASH, me and you watched one of them.
Yeah,
Gacy
that
was like 2006.
That was horrific.
And there was like the Gacy, I mean, not the Gacy, there was the Bundy movie and the, like the Dahmer movie, which really just weren't that good. The Dahmer one was like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of held up a little bit. There's a few of them. I can't remember which one. It was the one with... fucking Clint from Avengers.
Yes.
What's his real name? I'm blanking his name right now. Whatever.
Too.
I'm not going to focus on it. Marvel fans are going to get pissed. It's fine. You know who I'm talking about. Fucking Hawkeye. He was Dahmer. And that movie, I feel like that one kind of like stood the test of time a little bit. It's not terrible.
Is it Jeremy
it's not
Renner?
The greatest. Jeremy
yes,
Renner.
Yes.
There we go.
I was just about to Google it for y'all.
Sorry, I just like, was in my
Thank
head.
You.
I was like trying to like quietly type next to my microphone.
I was like, I have to remember this
like
name.
Typing with my pinky.
Well, that one is pretty good, but everything else is pretty shitty. And this one, I thought that it might have just been another one that was pretty shitty, but rewatching it, she deserved the Oscar.
Yes.
This whole everyone involved in this movie deserved an Oscar. I don't know if Patty got an Oscar or not. I actually didn't check, but she should have. Everyone involved in this, it is a fucking incredible film.
It is,
I mean, Roger Ebert, I'll talk about his review at the end of this episode, but he gave it a four star and he said it was like one of the best performances like ever in film history.
And that it's because it's different. Like all those other movies focus on the murders, they focus on like
the investigation,
the dark, grittier parts. Yeah, and they focus on the investigation, they focus on the police stuff and like
true crime cop movies are the worst in service to the fucking world that has ever been invented.
Well, that's, and it becomes the same story, and I feel like it puts focus on like the wrong part of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're always about the cop who's really angry and starts taking out his anger on other things that aren't the case and starts ruining the case because of
exactly.
their insecurities.
And yeah. I feel like this one was so different because it just focused on like trying to tell you who this person was. And like what their life was and what was going on. And it kind of like, I think we were talking about it before, like Patty Jenkins said she didn't want to make this like, clearly she wasn't trying to make this like she's a sympathetic character or anything like that. But she was like, I basically just wanted to tell that like she did really bad things, the worst things you can possibly do. But she had really bad things done to her as well. And I just wanted to put both of those out there and let everybody feel what they wanted to feel throughout the whole movie. And she kind of bookends it with the first murder being like this really scary situation, this really brutal situation where it was clearly self-defense. And then the last murder, and the last few murders really, but the last murder in particular is a very brutal on the other side, like Eileen's side, where this person... is begging for their life and you're feeling so much compassion for them and you want to reach out and grab them and like save them from her from this like monster that she has become. And like she does such a good job, like Patty Jenkins did such a good job of like bookmarking it that way so you feel those emotions the whole way and then you end up being like, holy shit. Like that was an intense story.
Because, I mean, as fucked up as the story is all the way through, it's a very complex story that can't just be told in the way that a lot of stories can, or I guess just in a way that a lot of people just tell true crime stories
exactly.
in general. And she doesn't really try to paint any specific picture of Eileen. She tells you what she did in a very neutral way. She tells you, like, what she cared about, what she didn't care about, but then also gives you the raw details of, hey, she did this, this happened. It wasn't like one of those, like, Bundy movies where the whole time they're trying to make you really kind of feel sympathetic for this character and it ends and you're like, oh, if someone didn't know about what Bundy did, they would just love this guy.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, hey, Bundy's the greatest person.
Like that,
Wicked,
one,
shocking,
yeah.
evil,
the Netflix
horrible.
One, the
with
wicked, shocking,
Zac Efron, where I was
truth.
Like, if you didn't know about this case, what you would think of that is like so beyond horrible.
That
like it's
movie.
So opposite of what you should be feeling about that. Like
it was so
bad.
It was
so like romanticizing him. I just like, oh, I can't.
And it's so annoying, too, because that movie did have the potential to be very good.
For sure.
The acting was not bad at all.
No.
It was very well shot. Like, the cinematography was great. The production value was, like, there.
But
like,
that narrative,
but the
man.
Story was just so fucked. The writing was terrible. So that's really, like...
Yeah, I thought she did a great job
with it. She really made you actually just... look at it, and like, I feel like everyone pretty much comes to the same conclusion after watching this movie. They're like, okay, yeah, you did some really fucked up, heinous things. I don't exactly sympathize for all the things you did, and this is the story. Like, this is it.
This is real. Like, these were real victims. They were, but you know, a majority of them, when they show them on film, you're like, yeah, they didn't do anything. They didn't even do anything to, like, you know, I'm trying to think of the word. Entice.
Warrant.
When you're like setting someone off. Why can't I think of the word?
When you're setting someone off, like, yeah, I don't irritate.
Know. Yeah, something like that.
Instigate,
maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's a word that doesn't exist. I'm not really sure. But when you're watching this, like, the majority of these victims, you're like, I just feel, you know, these guys are just like victims.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it's like the first guy, you feel like it's like self-defense. Obviously, you can't justify murder in any way. Like,
no.
You know, but you're like, that was self, like, she was acting in self-defense.
Yeah, she was attacked.
By the way, yeah. They're presenting it as factual. So it's like you feel what you feel
right.
about the real facts.
Right. And I think it's one of those things, too, where, like, Patty was probably trying to, it's kind of like what we say on Morbid, like, feel bad for child Eileen and what, like, what happened to her. But then throughout the, I don't want to say journey, but throughout the path that she took, like, it, she just got worse and worse. And
well, that's it. You can see how she starts to enjoy what she's doing.
And, like, unravel. Becomes,
you know, she's shooting people in the backs, you know, 7 times, and she's doing things unprovoked. That was the word I was trying to think of.
There provoke.
She's doing things unprovoked, like not acting in self-defense in ways. And I think they present it well in this movie, too, is we don't know what happened because it was Eileen and these men that are dead
by themselves
and can't tell these stories. So it's like we only had her version of events to go off of and what little evidence there was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of presents it that way in the movie because it doesn't go like super into each time. It just kind of is like, this is what happened. This is all we know. And this is all we can say about it.
Yeah.
And I think what Patty Jenkins, well, I know what Patty Jenkins based this all off of, too, was it was all the time that she spent with Eileen. And she was like, you know, I don't really, basically what you're saying, she's like, I don't really know exactly what happened. But based off of every experience that I've had with her, all her tapes, this and that, blah, 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 this is the story I'm telling.
Yeah, like, yeah. This is what I can get out of it. And she even said, she told Eileen, like, face to face, she was like, I have no sympathy for you. Like, what you did was horrific. You murdered people, but I have sympathy for what you've been through and what set you to this point, basically.
It's pretty much the definition of empathy.
I was going to say, yeah.
You feel bad for
what happened to
the circumstance. You put yourself in someone's shoes and you're like, yeah, that's horrible. Mm-hmm. That's terrible. That fucking sucks.
But you can't kill people.
But you can't murder people.
It's really just what it comes
to. I was going to say, the moral of the story, you cannot murder people.
Don't do it.
So that's pretty much our preface to this. You know, we're acknowledging that we don't condone Eileen's actions, but she had a fucked up life.
Yeah.
I mean, she lived in the woods for a long time. She was sexually assaulted by her grandfather and his friends at a very early age. She was pregnant and made to give away her baby very early on. And, like, I mean, just living in the woods, like, I can say that and move past that. But when you really think about that for a second, that's fucking crazy. That will do something to your psyche.
Going through an entire pregnancy and giving a baby away when you don't want to.
And being raped by family members. Being raped at all. Like,
and people that you're supposed to trust, like your grandpa and his friends.
Horrific.
With all of that, we're going to be talking about the film as it is. We're not going to be discussing Eileen's story pretty much. Not that much at all, probably, after this. We wanted to say what we had to say about the actual case, but we want to talk about the movie as the movie.
Yeah, for sure.
So as for that, it had an $8 million budget, a $64.2 million box office.
I'd say they made a good
profit. That's all right.
Solid proof.
Solid.
And you guys can stream the movie on Netflix currently. It's also on like Tubi, Vudu, and IMDb with ads. Also, I was watching the new Dexter last night, and I saw a preview for a show called Yellow Jacket, and it looks like Christina Ricci is on it, and like every episode, so just a little
Ooh.
Thing.
Ooh, I've actually heard that name, too.
I have, too.
Yeah.
The preview looked cool. They were calling it, like, the new Squid Games, or like, if you've seen Squid Games, well, you can't wait for Yellow Jacket, but then I saw Christina Ricci was in it, and I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can't wait for this.
Sign me up.
I don't know. If it's anything like Squid Games, I'm not interested.
But it has
you didn't
Christina
like Squid
Ricci.
Games?
I didn't try it. I just, like, I think with what we do, every day, like research-wise. I don't need to watch people die on my off time.
Understandable.
I can't agree. Red light, green light was awesome.
It was insane. Yeah. It was so insane. The tug of war was even more insane.
If I feel the need for like any extra darkness, I'm like, oh, Succession.
Oh, Succession.
You got to watch Succession.
Yeah, you got to.
But that's not what we're here for.
Welcome to the Succession podcast.
And now on to Monster. So the movie starts with a monologue from Mrs. Chartharine, and she is Eileen Warnow. She's talking about how she always wanted to be in the movies. People didn't know who she was going to become, but they would really see one day. She really hoped that one day she would be whisked away and everything would be different. But in contrast to everything that we're hearing, we see a clip being played of a man offering her money and then kicking her out of his car and driving off. And when it ends, she's sitting in the rain, like in this underpass, like the freeway underpass. And she says, by the time I met Shelby Wall, or Selby, not Shelby. Selby.
I made that mistake too.
Yeah, who is Christina Ricci. Actually, I was fine with that. It was my fucking autocorrect. It kept going Shelby. I'm sure it did it like a lot of more times. But she says, by the time I met Selby, all I wanted was a beer. And then we kind of move on. We meet Selby.
I like the voiceover narration in the beginning and in the end, but I didn't love it all the way throughout.
We were talking about it, and I said I love a voiceover narration because I grew up watching Lifetime movies, and I feel like so many of them had that back in the day.
I don't mind it, and I don't hate it in this movie. I think I don't know what I would want besides it, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, if I directed it, like, no, like, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
But there were times where I was like, yeah, I don't like this. I don't know why.
Times where you just felt like you didn't need
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I just didn't want to hear it.
My nostalgia's blinding, I'm sure, so. So we focus on Selby. It fucking autocorrected Shelby again. And she's at a gay bar, being a real loner, to say the least. She's ignored by a few people until we see Eileen Warnos walk in. And the dude... The bartender dude, yeah, I auto-corrected weird again. The bartender dude kind of shrugs her off when she asks for a paper towel and she ends up buying a beer. He's like, hey, it's only for paying customers.
He also never gives her a towel.
Yeah, I noticed that too. She definitely didn't get the towel.
No.
Oh yeah, you're right.
But she got the drunk. So.
She did, so one in the same.
So Selby sits down next to her and offers to buy her a drink. Unfortunately for her, though, Eileen yells at her and says she isn't going to fuck her for beer and then threatens to walk out. And Selby's just kind of like, well, why I oughta?
Why I oughta?
She's like, I just wanted to talk to you. Like, I'm not trying to hit on you.
And honestly, Christina Ricci looking sad is probably the saddest thing in the world. Her eyes are so fucking big.
So she expressive. Does,
like, she's so good at, you're just like, aw.
I love you, Selbs,
man.
God, she is one of my
she's
favorites.
Great.
I love her,
I
too.
I love Christina Ricci.
So she looks really sad, and she's like, I wasn't trying to, like, fuck you, dude, you know, in exchange for the alcohol. I'm just trying to hang out. And then Eileen sits back down. So Eileen sits back down and then end up having a good drunken night at the bar until they eventually get kicked out after Eileen tells the barkeep to remove a stick from his anus.
She goes, why don't you take that stick out of your ass? Now would be a good time.
Now would be a good time.
And then they get very comically, like, thrown out.
Like, they do.
Like, from their belt. Their belts. They're just like, whoop, goodbye.
Yeah.
Tossed into the road.
So when they're outside, Eileen apologizes for calling, what the, Selves? Dude, I hate my autocorrect. Calling Selby a dumb dyke. And then Selby asks if she wants to stay the night with her. And when they get back, Eileen says, all I wanted was a beer. The day I met Selby, I spent most of the day sitting in the rain about to kill myself, so you could understand. I was flexible. I mean, everybody's got to have faith in something. And for me, all I had left was love. I was pretty sure I was never going to love a man again, so I was going to do it. The only reason I didn't was a $5 bill. I knew I probably gave some asshole a blowjob for it, so it really started to piss me off that if I killed myself without spending it, then I basically sucked him off for free. So I made a deal. I said, God, I got to spend this $5. Once it's gone, so am I. So if you lost, or so if you've got something there for me, you got to bring it on. And there she was.
And then she met Selby.
And there was Selby.
And that would have been such a cute meet cute
if it just
it wasn't
ended
this
there.
Movie.
If it just ended right there. If it was like, yep, go, bye.
There's so many times throughout this movie where I'm like, just take the money and go. Just go. Like,
just leave.
You don't kill anybody else.
Yeah, like take the money that you got, like just by like that you have.
Like,
just buy.
Like before you killed
before
anyone.
Before you killed anyone and dropped them. Like, just go.
But unfortunately, that is not how this story goes. It's going to get a lot darker. And also, I think that monologue is very important because it kind of sets a good amount of tone for the rest of the movie.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It really, like, it's pretty much the whole movie. Like, I mean, Patty really wanted to tell a story that basically everything she did was because she was like in love with this chick and she's trying to like make money for the apartment.
So
and
they
this
can
app,
run
blah,
away.
Blah, blah. Yeah, and it's still not, again, not trying to paint it in any sympathetic picture, but it's like, this is what was going on through her mind.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that this is what her drive was.
This was part of her motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So they spend the night together, and they get awoken by Selby's mother in the morning, who very much knows what's going on, but she kind of acts like she doesn't for the sake of, like, other very religious family members.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's her mom. I think it's her dad's
It's like her,
friend.
Like, aunt or, like, godparent.
Yeah,
or
her dad
sort,
sent her away maybe. To, like, live with his friends.
Yeah, yeah. Because a couple of times I think she kind of calls her mom, but then she calls her something else, too, so.
Yeah, it was confusing.
Mm.
They do give a background to that, like, that she got in like some kind of lesbian relationship with someone back at home. Her father got really pissed, sent her off.
Yep.
And to like, it's a really like be rid the gay
like
out of her kind of thing.
And it
like,
was in Ohio,
rude.
I think.
Yeah.
Where that happened.
Yeah, yeah. Ohio's definitely a place that would do that. Yes. Very rude.
Very rude.
So they agree to meet up later, and Eileen goes on her way. And we cut to Selby's mom, who says things like, I thought you were a straight person, and you can't be around people like that. And just, again, very rude things.
Very rude.
And then we see Bruce Dern, who is, I can't remember his name. He's like one of the, he's the old dude that sits in the chair in the Hateful Eight. He's kind of just sitting in the chair with his big old beard the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Just with his big old beard.
Just living.
One of my least favorite Quentin Tarantino movies, but good role. Good actor.
True. Good actor.
He plays the role of Eileen's only friend in this, Tom.
I love Tom.
Mr. Tom. Good guy.
Tom tried.
I don't know. Is Tom based off of anyone?
I was actually trying to look that up.
Yeah, because I don't know if I ever remember, like, I mean, because I was doing some refreshers on the story, but I didn't go, like, deep into it. So I didn't find anything about a Tom or, like, a friend like Tom.
I didn't either. I don't know if maybe, like, maybe she, because she talked a lot. So maybe
That's
she,
true.
Like, later. So maybe she mentioned somebody who, like, looked out for her or something like that. And they just kind of conjured this Tom character. Because, like, Selby, you know, is a character made from a real person, but like
name omitted, the person
exactly
involved in this, yeah, they didn't want anything to do with the movie, they didn't want their name involved, they didn't want their likeness, personality, anything like that. So Selby is
technically a fictional character.
Yeah, a fictional character, like loosely based off of a real person, because Eileen did have a girlfriend, but that's really like the farthest that the Selby character goes into the real person that it's based off of. It's just it was Eileen's girlfriend.
So maybe Tom is kind of, maybe he could be that. Maybe she mentioned somebody and it is just kind of like a placeholder as that person.
Took some liberties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It was helpful for the story.
It was.
And I felt Selby very hard when Eileen said, where are your friends, when they're like hanging out like the roller rink the next day? And Selby's like, well, you're mean.
I kind of loved that.
So they talk for a bit, and then Eileen tells Selby which men do and don't like fingers up their ass, which is always a fun game to play.
She seemed to be right, too. I was like, yeah, I was catching those vibes, too.
Like,
it seemed
right.
Very accurate.
It did.
Yeah, it really did.
And eventually they start roller skating to Just a City Boy!
Born and raised
in South Detroit! He took the midnight train going anywhere. Bum, 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 bum.
They dance to that song.
The only song to roller skate make out to.
Is there any other song that even plays at roller skate rinks? I'm convinced
like
that's the only song they can play.
On loop. Every roller skate joint bought the rights to that song.
100%.
Well, because that's probably the only rights they could afford. They were like, well, that's our budget.
All right, Journey.
I was just going to say, Journey.
I was going to make a Journey joke earlier when you said something about Journey, but I was like, I'll just sing the song later. It's fine. It'll come back.
It'll come back.
So that song continues right up until they start kissing in the skating rink. They start making out in the alleyway, and then they end up departing for the night. Eileen wants to, like, you know, go fucking like a dirt patch or something, but Selby's like, you know, maybe tomorrow.
Maybe
find a different
tomorrow.
Dirt patch.
It's not the right dirt patch.
I mean, you know, you gotta find the lucky patch.
You do. It's gotta feel right.
To get lucky on. So next up, we see Eileen sitting in the passenger seat of a man's vehicle, telling a tale about her truck being broke down, how she needs to get back to her kids, and she shows a picture of her kids. And that was a thing that, like, she actually did.
For it to become a sympathetic character.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, I got to get back to my kids. You help me out with some money, blah, blah, blah.
Which is a thing a lot of serial killers do. Like, male serial killers usually do it, actually, because it makes, it tends to, in their mind, make especially females feel
more trusting
and comfortable if they feel like that person is, like, a dad or has kids.
Yeah, they'll, like, put,
they'll put like, toys in the car or car seat and shit.
Yeah, yeah. You know who else does that a lot? The people that hang outside of the 7-Eleven and the Shell gas stations by my house.
Really?
For sure.
That's upsetting. I'm upset.
Stay away from that.
Yeah. Please steer clear.
So it seems like this guy is just, like, some nice old guy giving her a ride at first until he goes... Or until she goes, could you help me out with some money? And then he starts, like, haggling her prices. He's like, what is this, a fucking union? Or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, he's like, what, are you unionized?
And then she debates whether or not she should finish for the night after she goes through this whole thing with him. But ultimately, she decides to get into a car with this skeevy little trucker guy. He has a stupid trucker hat on. I don't like trucker hats.
I'm not a big trucker hat person.
Nobody should be after Von Dutch. Anybody watch that documentary?
I gotta
watch
that.
The fuck is Von Dutch?
John wow. didn't know what that was either.
I thought I had met a unicorn when John didn't know what Von Dutch was. Biggest brand in the early aughts. Like Paris Hilton, when she would wear the trucker hats, they were always Von Dutch.
They made trucker hats? That's definitely something that I'm not a part of.
Yeah, and like Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, but trucker hats were like huge in the like early aughts.
Like the bedazzled trucker hats?
Exactly. And they had like tank tops and like all that stuff. You should watch the documentary. It's really good.
Is that like at the same time Ed Hardy was really big?
Yep.
Actually, I think
Ed Hardy probably made some.
Well, the creator, one of the people that worked on Von Dutch created Ed Hardy.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm not interested in this at all.
Oh, yeah.
Christian.
I don't know what his last name is, but I know it's Christian.
I'm going to unionize against Ed Hardy.
I'll join.
Yeah, I don't like
I'm
Ed
with
Hardy.
You.
I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Christian Audiger.
Do you ever feel like you're settling? For your foundation, that is. Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation doesn't settle into fine lines and wrinkles. With SPF 20 and moisturizing Pro Vitamin B5, this foundation not only provides medium coverage and a natural finish, but also protects and nourishes your skin. And the best part? The blurring sponge tip applicator makes application a breeze. Say goodbye to cakey, uneven foundation. And hello to a flawless, radiant complexion. Try our new foundation today and see the difference for yourself at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
So this Eddie Hardy asshole, he starts driving off. She's like, hey, don't drive too far. I don't like this. He's like, oh, well, I don't want to get caught. She's like, all right, true. I feel you. And then he starts talking about his hatred of women and basically everything else that you don't want to hear a man start talking about when you're alone in a car, like in the forest out of nowhere.
Yeah. No.
Definitely don't want that.
Bad vibe city.
So everything that happens next is really fucking sad. Hard to watch.
Horrific.
Hate all of it.
Nightmare.
The man starts screaming at her, like, out of nowhere, and then he hits her over the head with a blunt object, and she eventually wakes up tied to the passenger door of his car, and she is brutally assaulted, to say the least, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she's covered in blood. She's, like, clearly very injured, and he does, like, unspeakable things to her.
Yeah, really fucked up stuff. And in the midst of all of this, she unties herself and then she manages to grab, I don't know if it was her pistol or his pistol, but she shot him about 6-7 times and there goes that guy.
Yeah.
Yep. And then she takes his car.
That was a very rough scene to watch.
Yeah, it was horrific.
It leaves you feeling not good for sure.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine filming something like that. Another reason why Charlize deserved her Oscar.
Because
And I watched a lot of like interviews and behind the scenes and stuff with Patty, with Christina, with Charlize and everyone, and all of them, like, I mean, Charlize and Patty are both like on record saying that they cried a fuck ton during this movie, like shooting these scenes.
Because the place she had to go for a lot of those scenes is somewhere you never want to go.
No.
You don't even probably know you can go.
So while all of this was happening, she ended up blowing off Selby. So she ends up heading to her house in the middle of the night and kind of downplays what happened. She's like, yeah, I got into a fight. It wasn't fun, blah, 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 moving on. And she pleads to her and convinces her to leave her family and stay with her for a while. And their first week consists of, like, you know, getting drunk, getting high, hanging out in their hotel room and bars, just having a good time. But soon after, Eileen cleans up the car that she was borrowing, quote unquote, and she dumps it somewhere. And then Selby goes back home to pick up her bag, and she has this really rough conversation with her religious father over the phone before she ends up running off.
He's, like, screaming at her.
Oh, it's awful. And she's, like, crying and trying to be strong back to him. Ugh.
Yeah, and she's just like, I gotta go, Dad. Like, I'm an adult now. I gotta leave, like, blah, blah. And he's like, no, you're going back to Ohio, blah, blah, blah.
And I hate the lady that's, like, trying to make her talk to her dad. She's like, talk to him now. Like, you're not going anywhere. I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, knowing that it's not her mom and just seeing her, like, hold her down stuff.
Yeah, like, don't fucking touch me.
I don't know you.
Yeah, I don't know you.
Like, I'm gay. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Stupid.
So when Selby gets back to the hotel, Eileen does too, and she tells Selby that she's done with hooking because it's shit. She's like, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm over it. And she says that she wants to be a veterinarian or something, and Selby's like, well, you kind of need a degree for that, bud.
Pretty extensive degree for that one. You really went, you shot for the stars on that one.
She's like, you need some school, and you got a different option? Because if that's your only one, I don't feel confident.
And Eileen's like, whatever, man.
Whatever,
man. I'm pretty sure she literally says that.
She cracks a beer open, she lays back, and she's like, ah.
Whatever, man. I have to say, watching her job hunt was, like, very, very sad.
Yeah.
It's so upsetting, too. Just, like, I've seen people do this.
Yeah.
And it's just always so upsetting.
Yeah. And it does kind of go to show that, like, I think back then it was, like, you didn't really have a chance. If you, like, because she had already had, like, a felony, too. And it, like, nobody wanted to give her the time of day.
I'd say it still hasn't changed a lot. A lot of people just really. There's definitely more chances now than there was back then, but like, still, it's tough. Like, people do not want to give, like, addicts or, like, you know, people in, like, different kind of just different kind of lifestyles, they don't want to give them a chance. And it's like, you know, some of these people are legitimately fucking trying.
Well, that's the thing, if somebody's trying,
like, she put on her suit and everything.
Yeah.
Well, and, like, when she's talking to the lady and she's like, lady, like, I'm trying to clean up my life, like, woman to woman, I'm trying to talk to you. You could, like, feel it. Really, Charlize, man, again,
that's the thing, it's,
you,
like,
feel it.
Because, again, talking about Charlize playing this character, not the actual character, because we have no idea what her job hunt was
exactly.
In real life. Just in this movie, this character doing this was what really made me, like,
you feel,
man,
for her.
Like, just give her a shot. Maybe things would be different. Like,
you never know.
Charlize really kind of was perfect for this role, too, because she really is that just badass chick, like, in real life at all times. Like, she does not take shit from anyone.
Yeah, and she, you know what it is? She has this, like, badass energy about her. Like, you're like, yeah, Charlize will, like, she takes no shit. Like, she gives zero fucks. But on the same level, she can portray, like,
anything.
The most sympathetic. You are just like, oh, man, like, this person is just desperate. Like, I feel her. Like, I felt her in that, like, when what Ash was talking about when she's like, I'm just trying to clean up my life, man. Like, just give me a chance. I was like, just give her a chance.
Yeah, you're, like, rooting for
give
for Charlize.
A chance. She'll do it. I just said Charlene. I just mashed
just got
up
caught
the
up
two
in your
names.
Emotions.
Charlize.
No, Charlene,
give
man.
Her a chance. Charlize just needs a chance.
Yeah, the part that stuck with me the most was the guy who was like, yeah, well, you have to have a lot of qualifications to be a security guard or here. Or no, a secretary. It was a secretary.
Yeah.
And then she calls security. She calls him a dick. And then she kind of walks off. She looks at the secretary lady and she goes, fuck you, Leslie.
She does.
Fuck you, Leslie.
And that's ad-libbed and I love that energy.
Leslie's like, what?
She's like, that's not even my name.
That was ad-libbed? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that was an ad-libbed.
That's amazing.
Ad-libbed. That was an ad-libbed Charlize line.
I love when somebody will, like, just, like, go into the moment and, like,
and
ad-lib something.
And they keep it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those, like, are always the best lines.
Father, son, house of Gucci. That was ad-libbed.
Nice.
And Ridley Bye. Scott was like,
gaga.
Yeah. Bye, girl.
Gaga.
Gaga.
So then after the whole job hunt and all that horrific stuff, we get a bar scene where she's kind of just like gloating. She's like, yeah, I told this office guy to fuck off. And then I threw his shit around and it was pretty cool. And then he's like, she's like, barkeep, give me a couple more beers. And he comes over. He's like, yeah, about that. Owner says no. Cannot do it. Sorry. Cannot pass go. Cannot collect $200.
No, not going to do that for you.
And then Selby, you know, she's just kind of worried about what's to come.
Understandably. I'd be like, what is happening in the next hour? Never mind tomorrow.
And in between that, like after Eileen's leaving the job hunt, she gets picked up by that cop.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was like such a douchebag.
Yeah. So this cop, he kind of just grabs her, pulls her over into a random parking lot, and he forces her to perform fellatio because, quote unquote, she owed him one since he went, quote unquote, easy on her when he arrested her off the 95 a few months back, as he puts it. But her account, she's like, yeah, you almost broke my jaw, so I don't know if you went easy on me. He's like, did you get arrested?
And like when, as soon as he picked her up, he's like, you gotta come with me, we've been getting some complaints. And she just gets in the car, and I was like, no, he did not read you any rights or anything like that. Get out of that car.
Do not get in that car.
Like, we've been receiving some complaints about what?
Ugh.
You walking around with a suit?
Yeah, like, what the fuck did I do, bro?
So Eileen gets back to the hotel and finds Selby freaking out and attempting to rip her cast off. I don't think we mentioned, but Selby does have a cast on.
Yeah, on her arm.
I think that was just a random liberty that was, like, probably mainly for this scene because she just gets really stressed out that she can't get medical care. It probably just had to be something that was, like, she needed some kind of medical care, but it couldn't be too much. That it would affect the rest of the story.
Well, and I think she like couldn't work technically because she had like fucked up her arm.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. She couldn't work.
Yeah.
And then, now she's pissed off. Her arm's probably healed. She's trying to rip off the cast. And Eileen gets home. And she's like, what are you doing, dude? What's going on? And then Selby accuses her of quitting hooking because she assumes Selby would get a job and support her out of like young naivety and whatnot.
Because I feel like that like Selby was told that they were saying like, you know, she's just taking advantage of you, like her parents and the people she was staying with.
Yeah, a lot of people kept forcing that into her brain.
They were like, she just wants you to like pay her way. So I think Selby was like, no, like she was letting that get to
her. Like they're right.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Eileen was like, nah.
It's not happening.
She was like, I'll go back to hooking. Yeah.
So they have this moment, and Eileen tells Selby that she's going to go back to the streets, and she ends up in a car with some old guy who starts talking dirty to her. Like, it's really fucking cringy and uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's heinous.
Yeah, he's just saying a bunch of really skeevy stuff, and he's so old, and he's like, remember in Thanksgiving when Daryl does, like, the hand lick thing, like the slurp?
Yes.
He's basically just doing that.
Yeah.
In a worse manner. Like, it's so terrifying.
Way worse. Heinous.
It's fucking gross.
I had, like, a visceral reaction.
Yeah, but there was a funny part in this, because at one point he's like, will you call me daddy while we do it? And she's like, I'll try. Why, you like to fuck your kids? And he just like turns and just like his face is so blank and he looks mortified. She's like, what? You're saying weird stuff.
She's like, did that ruin this for you? Or did I say something weird?
Like, what did I do?
Did I ruin the moment?
Did I say something weird?
Like as fucked up as this whole interaction is, I was fucking busting up laughing with the depiction and the timing that she sent that.
It's almost like you need that for a second.
Yeah, you do. Because it's so heavy otherwise.
It's a palate cleanser, if you will.
Yeah. A weird fucking palate cleanser.
Very weird palate cleanser.
Yeah, that is the weirdest palate cleanser, but...
Definitely not something Drew ever said on Mormon.
No, not
at all. But, you know, it's a very situational palate
it
cleanser.
It is. One that can only happen once in a lifetime.
Yeah, like, it's under these very specific pretenses.
Exactly. Like, the planets have to align at exactly the right angle for that to work.
Yeah.
And it did.
But he ends up slurping and, like, you know, saying weird things, and she kills him.
Yeah,
she does.
Yeah, she does.
Steals his car. It's a recurring theme. It's going to keep going on. But she gets back to the hotel, and we get a real, it's a lovemaking scene. It's a lovemaking scene. That actually Charlize's boobie?
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
You'd have to ask Charlize. I don't know.
Hold on. I'm going to text Charlize really quick.
Was that your boobie?
Charlize on line one.
Can you or can you not confirm?
Was tit? ?
That's it. I'll just write that.
Was titty.
That's how we talk to each other.
Was dat your titty?
We're good enough with her that she'll get it. She'll understand.
She'll get it. She'll be like, ah, you guys.
She just sends back like an silly emoji.
Rascals. You silly rascals.
She sends like the shrugging emoji, like, I don't know. Cannot confirm or deny if was titty.
It looked like it was, though, because you saw the face and everything. And like, if it wasn't, they really cut around that well and like did some good makeup. But
get it.
It's so funny. I did not have that thought. Like, was that her titty?
I did not think that either. But when you brought it up, I was like, oh,
was it?
Good question.
The only reason I thought about it is really because I didn't remember any nudity being in this movie because it happened so fast. I mean, they're like having sex and whatnot. And then like, I think Christina Ricci just kind of like moves her hand away from a boob for a second and the nipple pops out for like probably like a second or two max. And I was like,
it's like bing bong.
Yeah, bing bong.
You see these dogs?
Ariana Grande. I miss you. Come take a ride on a cyclone.
What would you tell Joe Byron right now?
Bing we bong. Got this fucking idiot here again.
Screaming.
Who are you trying to meet? Byron. Byron.
Oh, my God.
I don't care what anyone says. That shit's fucking hilarious.
Amazing. I saw a TikTok of a girl who baked that entire, like the whole thing in cookies. Oh, my God.
Wait, what?
I'll send it to you.
What does that mean?
She'll send it to all of you.
I'll send it to you. Bing bong.
Yeah, the list. You gotta send that to every listener too, because I think they need. I'm so confused.
What could that
possibly? They put bing bong in a cookie.
She like made bing bong cookies, and then it was like,
and,
like
see these dogs,
and like wrote it on each cookie.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm
no, like it, like the cookie like was the like letter.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
The video's playing on the cookie.
No.
You wow. mix the video
it's
in.
It's really high tech.
Sugar, spice, and everything. Bing bong.
Everything. Bing bong.
Anyway, there's also a fun little scene where Eileen punches the owner of a breakfast place.
Yeah, that was intense.
Guy goes down.
Yeah, they're smoking inside, and this guy comes up. He's like, hey, you can't do that. And she's like, what? My lady? My lady can't smoke? Bong! Bing bong!
Bing bong. And this was a moment where I was like, wow, you're kind of an asshole.
Yeah, that was because like, they were not in the right section. Like, she could smoke inside. Yeah. Just go to the right fucking section. Ask us.
It's also that thing, too, that plays off very differently because Charlize is a lot taller than Eileen Sawarnos was.
Yes.
She's like half a foot taller than her. So like she's kind of just like
way more.
She
imposing.
Looks like she could knock someone out. But like I wonder if like that's a liberty. I'm like, I don't know if Eileen could have knocked him out like that.
Yeah, that was really intense. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You're chaotic.
He flew across the room like
he fell over like a table.
He did. It was like a very comical fall where like they like slam and like over a table and the whole thing overturns. I was like, yeah.
And then a bunch of like big dudes come out and they're like, I'm not fucking with her.
Oh, and I
So she has a few more instances of meeting up with men, and one of them she starts full on like punking the guy. Like she's MTV punking him.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. Like she's just like, what? You're a big fucking man, huh? You like to do weird things in the backseat? What do? You fucking bozo. And he's like, I have never done this before. And she's like, ah, shit. All right. And she like gives him a sad jerk off. Like it's just a really just like, all right, bud.
A very half-hearted.
It's a pity off, really.
A pity off.
Yikes.
It's something
aren't
else.
Aren't they all?
It is. He's is he... he's not one of the victims, right?
No.
No, because I was going to say...
Because I think
and then
he was like, this is my first time. And she was like,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and she just leaves. I was like...
And he doesn't try to like... I think this is in the beginning when she's like only set off if they try to do something that she doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
Sorta.
You know, something they did too is that pretty much everyone she killed in this kind of looked like her grandpa.
Huh.
Interesting.
I wonder if there's any... I've to be honest, I have not gone super into the real-life case of Eileen Wuornos. I've read things, I've heard things, but I haven't, like, gone deep, deep, deep dive into it. And I wonder if there's ever been any kind of, like, psychological
look into that.
About that, if that's ever come up.
Yeah, because that was a good point, Caleb.
A few people have said it a few times. I haven't gone deep into Eileen in a long time, but... It like I said, like this was like the second true crime movie I ever saw and like got me into true crime. So this was like this and Gacy. These were like the first crimes that I ever like just heavy like went into like a fucking spiral going into.
Yeah.
Also, they go to the bar for a second. Or no, Selby goes to the bar. She takes a car, goes to the bar on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone know what the fuck she said when she asked the girl next to her to hand her the peanuts?
I had no idea what she said.
I was trying to figure that out,
too. She didn't just say, like, hand me the peanuts, and that's what the fucking subtitle said, and I was like, that's not what I'm hearing. She was like, can you hand me the peanuts so I can... and I was like, what the fuck are you saying?
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys heard that too, because I rewound like 4 times and I just gave up. I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, and the subtitles don't help you.
No, the subtitles made it so much worse.
They betrayed.
I should have turned them off and then tried to just like close my eyes and listen or something, because I was very confused.
Yeah, I wonder what she said.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was something weird. I'm going to get the clip and I'll put it in right here. Just if anyone can decipher this, I don't know. She says something about the fucking peanuts.
Hey, mind if I angle in on those ones?
It's like listening to EVP. You're like, what did she say?
Yeah, I just want to know. Like, I just want to know what she said. So Selby goes to the bar and pretends to be Eileen and, like, you know, she's like, oh, yeah, I fucking threw a chair at this office guy, piece of shit, little bozo. And everyone's like, wow, you live a pretty cool life. She's like, yeah, I know.
You are so cool.
Tension starts to grow between Selby and Eileen because, you know, Selby goes back. Eileen's pissed because she took the car. She's like, you can't be doing that. She's like, what's the big deal?
She's like, that's a murder victim's car. That's why it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't be doing that. I gotta know what's going on with that murder car. So she's like, all this stuff you're buying does not matter. You got a fucking teddy bear. What's this? Bing bong. Throws it out the room.
Bing bong. Moves. Bing bong. Bing bong. Out of here.
And then Selby's like, I'm tired of being alone in the house all the time. I don't have friends. Bing, bong. And they go to Funland. They ride the Ferris wheel, all that exciting stuff.
Did you feel like Selby was trying to make Eileen jealous for a minute?
Yeah, yeah. When she did the whole thing on the little amusement park rides and all that, for sure.
Yeah.
It was also something about this like chaotic, tragic couple going to like an amusement
Funland
park.
Like, it's specifically called Funland.
It was so ominous. Like, yeah. I was like, this feels so gross.
It's like in true crime when he takes her to the carnival and it's like all stressful.
No,
it's you're like, cute. And then you're like,
especially when you see Eileen just riding on the go-kart alone and no one else is riding go-karts. She's just like going in circles. It's like, oh.
Something about it was just like, ugh.
Yeah, I felt that. I also wonder if the real Eileen Wuornos was afraid of heights. Like, if that ever came up when Patty was talking to her. Because on the Ferris wheel, it seemed like she was afraid of heights.
Oh, maybe.
And it was like,
I feel like a lot of people are just afraid of heights. I'm afraid of heights. I don't fuck with them.
Comment. I don't like heights. I fucking love heights.
I hate
I
heights.
I don't like them. I don't like them.
Yeah, I don't even like down the stairs.
You know those things that you can like at like the carnivals actually that like they take you all the way up and then like you...
They drop you down? The ones that make me want to murder myself? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I went on one of those when I was like 8 and I was like, party.
Oh my God, that's the worst.
I love
them. I went on one of those when I was like 8 and I had the worst anxiety attack of my fucking life.
You see, and I was a child who was like, amusement parks? No thanks. Don't want anything to do with that.
I'm still that person. I don't like rides and shit. They fuck with me.
I don't want anything to do with them.
My biggest fear is like the Phil Dunphy thing where I'm going to find out that I can't go on roller coasters anymore.
You know, that's my biggest fear for you because you are taking my kids on rides when we go to Disney World someday. And John and I are like,
listen, I'll work through it. I'll work through it. Me and Drew both love rides.
We are relying on them.
Final Destination ruined me even more than I already was with rides. I'm always just like, nope, these bolts are coming out. I'm flying off. I'm destroyed.
Seriously, that never happens.
It's even gonna be scary to like watch my kids on rides because I'm gonna be so fun. I'm just putting you in this situation. I don't even want to think about it.
I'm gonna be like, acting like
you're terrified. You in this situation. I'm putting you in Funland.
I'm putting you in Funland. I don't want anything to do with it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I'm stressed out now.
So they're at Funland. There's this whole jealousy thing, like Ash said, where like she's hanging out with her other friends. She's like, oh, my friends are over here, but she ditches Eileen's going on rides with them. She's hanging out specifically with this one girl. Eileen is emo Lee going on go karts.
Emo
Lee.
Lee. That's what
emo Lee.
I was gonna say.
You getting it? There we go. We got there.
Because Selby calls her Lee.
Oh,
I thought you were pissed at the joke. There we go. We got there.
I was like, I'm not.
I was like, I know that face.
You know that face well. I was like, I'm going to stare off into the distance until somebody notices that I'm confused.
And it's always me.
Hey, sisters.
So things turn very bleak very fast. Selby crashes the car into a nice old couple's house, and Eileen runs up to her side frantically and tells her they need to run. And they get stopped by the old couple, but like the little old lady is kind of just like, oh, honey, I got to get you an ambulance. Yeah, and then they're just like, nah, we're leaving, and they just kind of let them leave.
And Eileen just like picks Selby up and like tosses her, like
throws her, and she's like, get the fuck over there.
And she's like, get in there, you're fine.
You're good.
She's like, she's fine.
And it's like, they just drive off. They're like, you have a good day, and just like leave. And I was like, you could say I'm sorry that I like drove onto your lawn and ruined your lawn sculptures. Like, yeah. I would apologize.
Especially if you're trying to like not get caught, at least apologize.
Be like, I'm so sorry. That was really rude of us to do.
And immediately after, they head over to a forest, and Eileen's ripping off the license plate. She's wiping down the interior, and Selby's freaking out. She's like, I want to drive back. And she's like, no, bitch, I murdered a guy. We're not going in that fucking car. Let's go.
She's like, we cannot drive this car.
She's like really just having a bad time with this.
Yeah, she's not reacting great.
So the next big climax that happens is when Eileen meets up with a man in the forest. She mentioned that he had a gun and then talks about how she hates men and doesn't sleep with them anymore while he's taking his pants off. And then he slowly takes them off and then he starts putting them back on because he's like,
"This was, what are we doing here?
Yeah, he's like, I don't think this is happening. This is kind of, I don't know about
and
this.
And I think he says like, well, now I just feel bad for you.
Yeah, he's like, now I just feel bad for you. I don't want to do this. He's like, I'm leaving. If you want to come, I'll give you a ride. Let's go.
Because she says to him like, my grandfather raped me, his friend raped me, and my dad would just beat me because of it. And he's like, oh, well, shit, like, now like, I feel bad. Yeah, I don't want to do this.
He tries to leave, and then that's when Eileen pulls out her revolver and shoots him to death. And then she finds his badge in his wallet.
Yeah.
Which also a real thing. Yeah. She killed a retired police officer. Mm-hmm. And
Alina found
his name was Dick Humphreys, and he was an officer who specialized in protecting children against child abuse and injured children. So he, by all accounts, was a very good guy.
Yeah, so rest in peace to him. Very rough.
Yeah.
Hard scene, and she gets home. She tells Selby that she couldn't get a car and that they have to leave on the bus, and Selby kind of argues against it. Tells her that she has to get a car for them, and reluctantly, Eileen Warnos leaves, and she ends up at her bar. She's telling her friend Tom, she's like, well, things aren't going too well.
Not going great.
Yeah, it's bad. Tom's like, yeah, I could tell, actually, if you didn't know, I actually noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I do care about you.
Yeah, he's like, I have been watching this whole thing happen. I've been watching you devolve into this.
And she ends up on the side of the road trying to decide whose car to steal. And she kind of like passes off a bunch of dudes, but she ends up getting in the vehicle of a man who is genuinely trying to help her.
Yes.
Like,
he literally says, like, genuinely. We'll give you, my son's away, like, we'll give you a room, we can figure this out.
Yeah, I'm sure my wife wouldn't mind if you stay in that room.
Because she does the whole thing where she, like, shows a picture of, like, the kids that aren't hers, and she's like, oh, I'm just trying to, like, figure out my life.
She's also really out of it when she does it this time.
Yeah, because she's been drinking, and he's like, oh, like, you know, like, are you all right?
This whole part is really hard to watch, because she realizes that she has to get out of the car when he starts speaking about how he wants to help her. But then as she's getting out, her gun falls out of her bag and she real quickly sits back in the car, sits down, tells him to drive. And when they stop, she tells him to get out of the car, tells him to like get down, like turn his back to her. And he starts pleading for his life.
Oh,
he starts
horrible.
Crying about his wife and his children. And
it's
he's like
horrible.
Screaming.
Oh, it's yeah.
She lets out this giant belt, just this crazy like scream of emotions. And then just screen goes black. You hear the gunshots.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's horrific. And what killed me about this scene is she goes to get out of the car and the gun falls out and he like picks it up and hands it to her.
Like he's like, I don't want.
And he's like, are you in some kind of trouble? And I'm like, you could have let that. You could have said, I have this on me because I.
For protection.
You know, yeah. Like this is a job that is risky that I'm doing and I have this to protect myself. See you later. Have a good night.
Right. And he was obviously like, okay, see ya.
Yeah, he would have probably been like, all right, like see you later. And it's like when I saw her get back in that car, I was like, no, like let him go, man. Right. Like he's a genuinely decent human being.
And
he's
you recognize that.
You
That's why
it.
You wanted to get out in the first place. Yeah.
And I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with this is a weird comparison, but it gave me very much Spider-Man Uncle Ben vibes.
Yes.
I've never seen any of those.
You're right. Holy
Did not
shit.
Like it at all. It was like almost like shot for shot, like just like going like, hey, take this, like move on, keep going.
It's, I don't like it. I know. I just wanted her to shut that door and walk away.
So upon getting back to the hotel, Selby is wide awake and she lets Eileen know that their sketches are out. Because Eileen comes in frantically and she's like, all right, let's go. Like, I got a car, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, no, this is serious. And Eileen takes Selby to the train station and they have this really depressing scene where she's just like, I always knew I'd take you here, blah, blah, blah. She's like, yeah, I told you I'd get you a ticket. She's like, yeah, when I wanted to go, this, that, blah, blah, blah. And like, I'll probably put a little bit of the clip in right here because I don't even want to try to do any of this.
Because if you can forgive me for... Because I don't know if I can forgive myself for my, you know, for this, all this.
It made me sad, and then I was like, I don't want to be sad about this, because you're like running away because
you did horrible things.
Murder.
Yeah, and again, it's good that Patty like does those things, but then she'll show you something after that's like, okay, yeah, this
exactly.
is the other
it
side to
you,
it. Like,
it's really an emotional roller coaster.
It is. Yeah.
So Selby leaves, and then we get back to the bar where Eileen is drowning in her sorrows, and she's sitting in between two undercover cops, one being Kane Hodder.
Thank you. I knew that was Kane Hodder.
And it's so weird, too, because, I mean, he's just so very hard not to recognize, because he's fucking giant, has his very distinctive face.
Very distinctive.
Dude, he is in so many true crime movies. I swear to God, so many true crime movies that I have watched as a kid that I have not recognized Kane Hodder in, all of a sudden Kane Hodder's just there. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
He's just showing
about?
Up
like,
in all of them.
Kane, what are you doing here?
And you know what? I saw him and I was like, who is that? And I was like, why do I know that person? And thank you. Because afterwards I was like, I think that was Kane Hodder. And I didn't look it up.
Yeah, apparently he was the stunt coordinator for the movie too. So it makes sense. He just did like a quick little cameo, but.
That's amazing. Go Kane.
So her friend Tom walks up and he tells her to come outside. He's like, hey, hang by the fire pit. Let's talk for a minute. She reluctantly goes over, and then he's like, hey, you got to jump over this fence. I'm going to have my car on the other side, and we're just going to go. You got to jump over the fence. And she's like,
what? Because he definitely was like picking up on the fact that those guys were undercover.
And he was trying to help her.
He's like, I'm going to get you out of here and just like run off real quick. Like, these dudes are here about to arrest you. And she's really drunk, really fucking drunk, so she doesn't realize what's going on. She thinks Tom's trying to get her to like, you know, do a service for him. And she's
like, keeps being like, not you.
Not you, Tom.
And I was like, it's not. Tom's not.
Since she ignored Tom and was on a quest to call Selby, she gets approached by Kane Hodder and associate and gets taken to jail. And the next time she speaks to Selby is over the phone, where she realizes that Selby is working with the police. When Eileen asks, where's the money I gave you? And she kind of goes,
like, what money?
Like, what are you talking about? Pretty much trying to say, like, you know, she doesn't want to say that she was given money.
No, she's not going to implicate herself. Yeah.
And then that's when Eileen realized, like, oh, okay. And she's like, yeah, the change I gave you. She's like, oh, yeah, the change. Yeah, yeah, I got that.
Oh, it's, like, intense. It's intense.
And then Eileen admits to everything. Selby testified in court, and they do a recreation of it where she barely looks at her. She kind of, like, glances at her a little bit in the side. And I don't even think that the real girlfriend of Eileen did that. I don't think she looked at her at all.
I don't think so either. And there's one part in the movie that I think was a really good like choice that they made Selby like be talking to whoever she was talking to, like on the stand, and you couldn't hear it. It was quiet. Mm-hmm. But then she just puts her hand out and points to her without even looking at her. Yeah. Like, is that person in this room? You know what I mean? Like, point at her. But it was the way she's just like, you hear nothing. All you see is Eileen sitting there staring at Selby. Mm-hmm. Selby staring at someone else talking. Then her finger just points right at her. Without looking at her.
She kind of looks at her after that. And Eileen almost looks at her like, it's okay. Like, I get it.
It's really...
It's like, they have a moment.
It was just, like, really good choices.
Yeah, a great scene in a weird way.
Yeah.
And after all that, we have the thing where Eileen kind of, like, runs around. Well, Charlie's runs around as Eileen in the court. And they do a recreation of, like, when she was sentenced. Which, if you watch the actual videos and you watch this, it's fucking crazy, like how much she looks like her, how much she acts like her, how much her mannerisms are like her,
and the things she was saying were very similar.
Some of it was like a shortened version of the exact thing she said, because when she like got sentenced and she starts saying like fuck you, blah blah blah, I'm gonna put those clips in right here, but she pretty much says everything in like 2 minutes, and they kind of just span it out into like 10-15 seconds right here, but get the gist of what she was letting out.
Coming up right here, we have the real Eileen Warnos.
Going to be handled by you.
May
with
your
the
wife and kids get raped.
I would ask that you would appoint the public defender's office. Okay, I'll appoint the public defender's office to handle the appeal. There's one other thing that I want to say that I think needs to be said.
I know I was raped. You weren't nothing but a bunch of scum.
Therefore, these proceedings are now
putting
concluded.
Somebody who was raped right to death. Motherfucker.
And now we have the excerpt from the movie Monster.
Thank you, Judge. And may you rot in hell, sending a raped woman to
bomb! That's what you are!
And then Eileen receives the guilty verdict and the death penalty, and she was executed on October 9th of 2002 after 12 years on Florida's death row. And yeah, that's about the end of the movie.
Yeah, when we finished the movie, I was like, oh, that's the date that I got engaged.
And I said, beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
That's literally what I said.
That, yeah, it's a movie. It's a phenomenal movie. And it's so emotional.
Yeah. And it also, it goes at like the perfect pace for a movie like that.
The pacing is great. Yeah. There's never times where you're like, speed it up. I don't care about this.
No, it's perfect.
It's almost 2 hours long, and everyone knows I'm a hater of 2 hour long movies. It's perfect.
Like, nothing had to be trimmed.
No, like there's no scene that I was like, that didn't need to be in here.
Exactly. Everything was relevant. Everything moved the plot forward. Everything felt like it was in the right spot.
Yeah, so the real case of Eileen Warno, she killed 7 people in total. She was convicted of 6, killed 7 people. In the movie, we see 3 of them, and then technically there's 4 kills, like, you know, if we're talking like movie wise, because it's implied that Eileen Warnos got the death penalty and was killed on the chair at the end of this. The movie got 80% or an 81% by critics and also an 81% by the audience on Rotten Tomatoes, and it has a 7.3 on IMDb. Like I said earlier, Roger Ebert, he gave it a 4 stars, and he explained it really beautifully. I'm going to read like the last couple things of his review. He says, "We're told to hate the sin, but not the sinner. And as I watched Monster, I began to see it as an exercise in the theological virtue of charity. It refuses to objectify Warnos and her crimes and refuses to explore her story in the cynical manner of true crime sensationalism. Instead, insisting instead on seeing her as one of God's creatures worthy of our attention, she has been so cruelly twisted by life that she seems incapable of goodness, and yet when she feels love for the first time, she is inspired to try to be a better person. She is unequipped for this struggle and lacks the gifts of intelligence and common sense. She is devoid of conventional moral standards. She is impulsive, reckless, angry, and violent, and devastates her victims, their families, and herself. There are no excuses for what she does, but there are reasons, and the purpose of the movie is to make them visible. If life had given her anything at all to work with, we would feel no sympathy, but life has beaten her beyond redemption."
Wow.
Damn.
That's shocking. It. As a review from Roger Ebert, like, that's wow.
One of his most beautiful reviews, for sure. Really, the way that was provoking.
Yeah.
And he, like I said, he calls Charlize's performance one of the best of all time, like, of film history.
Which, can you imagine?
I mean, it really is, kind of.
That's an honor. She was like, I saw her talking about the Roger Ebert review. And
really?
She was stunned.
Yeah.
Stunned.
Because how many times has he said that?
He shits on everyone.
And especially, he's like, he doesn't like scary movies, horror movies, or anything like that. Not that this can be, I don't know what this would be, like a true crime.
I'd say like maybe like drama, thriller, like, you know, documentary-esque, like something like that. But
it doesn't feel like something he would give that kind of review to, but Charlize called for it, man.
She did.
She was the one, you couldn't not. Like, how could you not give it a phenomenal review with her as that character?
4-star from Roger Ebert and a really positive review and calling her one of the best actresses of the decades.
Yeah.
With one of the best performances of like all time. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I would frame that and hang it on the wall.
I'd be like, I done good. I'm going to go
put that
get
in every room in my ice house. Cream. Anytime you're feeling down.
So what do you guys rate Monster?
I got to give it a 5 because there was really nothing I didn't like about it. I enjoyed it. I don't want to say like I enjoyed watching it, but it was a good movie.
I'm with you, Ash. I'm right there with you.
I am right there with all of us.
Is this the first
us.
Time we've done a unanimous 5? It's the first time we've been unanimous on anything.
For
and
sure.
5 stars. Wow.
There just wasn't anything
it's
wrong
a perfect
with it.
Movie.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No, like for what it was trying to do and for what it is a perfect movie. I have no issues with it.
Same. Wow. This is.
That's wild.
Monumentous.
Yeah. And I think it presented the facts where it needed to. It put some like artistic license where it needed to. It, like we said, the pacing was so perfect, the everything belonged. I hate when a movie has a scene that I'm like, oh my god,
we
get to the next scene
that.
Like, what is this? And there was never a moment in this.
No.
5 out of 5. Recommend.
Yeah, I definitely would recommend this movie.
So next up, at the beginning of the year, we're going to be trying a new thing like we talked about in the beginning.
Excited.
So our topic for that is going to be found footage. We'll tell you more details about everything else to come after. You'll get a better picture once we actually put out the episode. But we're going to do some really fun things, some really interesting stuff. I think we're all
we're all going to learn together and have fun together and vibe.
We're excited.
One would say.
Yeah.
We're all in this together.
It's going to be the same scream, just with added coolness. It's like whipped musical. Cream on top.
It's like scream. Remix. Freaking, freaking. Get it?
Exactly that.
It's that. Scream, fricky, fricky.
As always, thank you so much to Ethan Hurt and Kyle Herman for making our intro and outro music. Ethan Hurt, of course, the composer of the Class of Nukem High soundtrack. You can find him on www.ethanhurt.com, and you can find Kyle Herman on any social media, really anywhere else. And of course, check out our other podcasts. I host a horror movie podcast that covers weird horror movies, discusses weird horror movies, really, vampire movies, and every single Amityville movie ever created. You already know that Ash and Elena host Morbid, a true crime podcast, and Crime Countdown, a Parcast original, which covers very grisly true crime cases, such as the one that we discussed today. We also mentioned polls at the beginning of the episode, and you can find all of that on patreon.com/screampodcast. You can also find all of our bonus episodes and anything else of the sort, again, on patreon.com/screampodcast. And while we're on the topic of Patreon, I would like to thank a few of our new donators: Kristen Powell Andrus, Andrew Barwick, Danielle Borowski, actually, Sandra Orozorio, Sandra Azorio, Brett, Tina, not Tuna, Demonica, Danny, Callie, and Ashley Marshall. If you want to follow us on social medias, you can find our Instagram at Scream Podcast, our Twitter at The Scream Pod, and our website is www.screampodcast.com. And of course, I am on Letterboxd doing movie reviews at Horror Soup Caleb.
This show was a bummer today.
This show made me kind of sad today.
This show was an ominous amusement park.
Alina understood the assignment. She like stuck true to what we usually do and made it ominous. Elena and Caleb, they met through some tweets, exchanged them digits, now life is so sweet. Zooming all the time to record new episodes, slanging the jokes to make our heads all explode. On PCP, I'm trapped inside a VHS. Scream, baby, scream, you know who do it the best. Through Anna's eyes, the team is ready to go. Fighting round the world, shout out to Russell Crowe. Oh, space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Internet homies, yeah, we tight like that. You wanna mess with Scream? Well, we might fight back. I'm still in that VHS, bad drug experience. A window that is secret, Johnny Depp, are you hearing this? We top notch, podcasting the day away. What you say? Friendship on full display. My penis is in space, if you think that is odd. I'm wishing for endless corn and eggs for the squad, Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the Scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the Scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the Scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the Scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream. Space penis and endless corn. I've wanted the Scream since the day I was born. Best friends ever, truly the greatest team. Eggs, 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 we just living the dream.
Woo!
Things are getting weird.
So weird,
so weird,
so weird.
Things are getting weird.
So weird.
So who?
So what?
Things are getting weird.
How now, brown cow?
Things are getting weird.
Right here, right now.
Things are getting weird.
It's so strange, what do I do?
Things are getting weird.
are getting weird. Things are getting weird. Things are getting weird. Things are getting weird with Ash.
With Ashley Kelly.
Ash, did something happen?
No. What?
Oh, you made like a face. I was like, did something happen?
Oh, no, I was facing out for a second, and then I, like, came back, too.
Oh,
yeah,
because
you were, like,
was
I
like
literally,
had,
like,
quick
got
thought,
out of...
Like,
I was like,
was
that a crazy
blast,
revelation?
So I was like, what's your brain blast?
What's your brain blast?
I don't have one. I think my brain is blasted. I'm like...
If you like Scream, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go... Tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run dark. In this new crime thriller, religion and crime collide when this small Montana community is rocked by a gruesome murder. As the town is whipped into a frenzy, everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager. But local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Lauro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. She and Ruth form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone's watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy Award nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook plunges listeners into the dark underbelly of a small town where the lines between truth and deception are blurred, and even the most devout are not who they seem. Chinook is available to listen to now exclusively with your Wondery Plus subscription. You can subscribe to Wondery Plus on the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.